All right. Take your Bible, please, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 6. When you're reading this portion of Scripture, you will note that there's a lot of people don't know this. The question is, do you know that God is interested in your spiritual needs? And He's also interested in your physical needs. God cares about us. I love with an old evangelist, you say, God loves you. God loves you. Can you imagine that song I just sang? You just can imagine how that God loves us. He cares for us. He looks after us. And the scripture that we just read today is talking about these people that were out, and they were listening to His preach, and they saw Him. And the Lord had compassion for them. He was concerned about their food. He was concerned about taking care of not only their spiritual need, but their physical needs. And I want you to get that today. I want you to know that God cares about you. We have a lot of people that say that talk about religion, and religion is a thing, and you just do the religious thing and do the religious thing. You know what? God cares about the physical things. God cares about your life. God cares about your health. God cares about your mental stability. God cares about your desires. God cares about your wants. God cares about your life. God cares about that one that someday will be your mate. God cares about that little one that's going to come into your home and is going to bless your home. And God cares about those things. God cares. I just got a text from one of our guys up at the sheriff's office and said that one of the ladies up there, her mom just passed away. And God cares about that. God cares about that hurting the police department in Seaside, Oregon. That man was serving a warrant and got shot, killed. And the officer just doing his job. God cares about that. God cares about those the chief police out there. And God cares about those people. He cares about you. Don't ever think that He does not care for you. I love that song, His Eyes on the Sparrow. You know, God cares for each one of us. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows the loneliness. He knows the sorrows. He knows the pettiness that some people act towards each of us. He knows all that junk that goes on. He knows it. Does He care for us? Yes, He cares for you. And so I thought that this morning, this week, I thought about that, and I wrote this sermon. I've preached before. I preached it in the Philippines, up in Calinog, in Panay. I see that back in 2006, on January the 29th, I was in the Philippines. And I thought, you know what? It's good for Filipino. It's good for us. Amen. And so I hope today that you listen carefully. God is able. God is able. First of all, God is able to save. In James chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible said, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Look at the life. I was thinking when I thought of that, I was looking at the life of Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle, if there's any man that could not be saved, it was Paul the Apostle. There is no way. I mean, there was no hope for this man. I mean, he was a religious fanatic. I just wrote down he was nuts. That's all I just wrote. He was nuts. He was a religious fanatic. He would do anything to advance the cause of the temple in Jerusalem. He beat people. He mutilated people. He injured people. He tortured people. He persecuted people. He stoned people to death. He hated Christ. He hated the name of Jesus Christ. He despised it. You have to remember that after the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, Christianity was quickly spreading and influenced throughout Jerusalem and neighboring cities and villages. And there was a difficulty in the church in Acts chapter 6. And the church took care of that, and they made seven deacons. And one of the seven deacons was a guy named Stephen. He was elected as one of the first deacons of the church, and he was out and about giving his personal testimony. We'd call it soul winning, claiming that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And this led to an unbelievable excitement among the Jews, and many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it caused great controversy in the synagogues. And persecution arose against Stephen and all the followers of Christ, in which Saul of Tarsus, who is the Apostle Paul as we know him today, he took a very prominent role in that in that persecution. And Saul of Tarsus was at that time probably a member of the Sanhedrin. He began to be very active and aggressive leader and furious persecution against all the religious, all of Christianity. And he was a religious ruler that sought to rub out the memory of Jesus Christ, this carpenter from Nazareth. And his followers unashamedly spoke openly of his resurrection, and they gave great proof that they had saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul the Apostle later, after he got saved, he said there's over 500 that are still alive that saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's an incredible witness. All you need is two people to say that you did something, you did it, amen. He said there's over 500 still living that saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. So Saul began this extermination of Christianity. He tried his best by himself. He took it on himself personally to exterminate the Christians. But the persecution and extermination of Christians failed. In fact, the account of the resurrected Christ scattered like wildfire, and more they killed and imprisoned these Christians that flamed the fire that caused of Christ, Jesus Christ. And his followers just kept preaching. They didn't care. They kept preaching the word without hesitation, without intimidation. They just kept saying, you know what? You can do what you want, but I saw the risen Jesus Christ. I saw him. Or my father told me about it, and I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and I'm for it. You can't change my mind. You can kill me, you can do whatever you want, but you ain't going to change my life. Don't you ever wonder why these fishermen, these tax collectors would huddle at night in the upper room with the doors bolted and locked when Jesus Christ was crucified? But when Christ came and showed himself to them, and they see the truth, and of course the Bible says when you see the truth sets you free, they came to the point that you couldn't scare them. They had the truth. Like Solomon says, a man with truth is bold as a lion. Oh, this really angered the religious rulers. The anger that the high priest had and the anger that the scribes and the Pharisees, this sent Paul over the top and sent him into a frenzy and a great kindle him the fierce flame. Hearing that these fugitive Christians now not only were in Jerusalem, but now they had taken off and some were in Damascus. And he obtained from the chief priest a letter authorizing him to proceed to Damascus and do what he could to chain and to bring back these Christians and have them literally taken care of. Just a short note. Damascus is 130 miles from Jerusalem. That takes you about 6 days. That's quite a distance. I was reading this one commentary, and it said that each step that Saul took towards Damascus, it just made him madder and madder and madder. And he got angrier and angrier. And the Bible said he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. But the crisis of his life was at hand. He had reached the large stage of this journey. Damascus seemed to be in sight. And he and his companion rode on. Suddenly in the midday, a brilliant light shone round about them, and Saul dropped prostrate in terror to the ground, and a voice sounding in his ear said this, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The resurrected Jesus Christ, who had he had been blaspheming and making a mockery of, the finally met him. And Jesus Christ closed in the vesture of the glorified humanity and answered the anxious inquiry that was stricken. The persecutor, Saul, cries out like a child, Who art thou, Lord? And the resurrected Christ replied, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 23, he tells about it. These verses prove that even a tyrant can come to Christ, can have a change of heart when Christ gets a hold of you. There is not one man alive that can say that I am unsavable. Either is no man alive that can say I am a lost cause. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad that Jesus Christ will forgive us our sins. It'll come in our heart. God loves you. And you can be saved. I don't care how far and how deep into sin you've ever been. You say, but preacher, you don't understand. I've done this. I've done that. I've gone against the Ten Commandments. You know what? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. He says all of us are sinners. And we all should say, Amen. Most of us say amen or amen, oh me. You know, we all have that idiosyncrasies in our hearts and our lives that just do not measure up to the Word of God. That's why God gives us that wonderful portion of Scripture in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God promises us that. He promises to forgive us of our sins. He promises to come into our heart. The only thing we have to do is only believe. Only believe. Fear not, little flock, from the cross to the throne, from death into light, He went for His own. All power in earth, all power above is given to Him for the flock of His love. Fear not, little flock, He goeth ahead. Your shepherd selected the path you will stride. The waters of Mar are sweetened for thee. He drank all the bitterness in Gethsemane. Fear not, little flock, whatever your luck. He enters our room, the door being locked. He never forsakes, He never is gone. So count on His presence in darkness and on. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. God promises we can be saved. Secondly, God is also able to save us from our fiery furnace. You remember the scripture over in Daniel chapter 3? There's three guys in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I get that a little mixed up because my mama used to say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and when I was a little boy, make me go to bed, amen. But there are three young men, three strapping young teenage men who had been taken from their parents, taken from the kingdom of Jerusalem, and taken to Babylon. There are four men that we read of in the Bible that took their stand for Jesus Christ, for God. One man's name was Daniel. They called him Belteshazzar. But his name was Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're the ones when they came to the country. They had purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat or the king's drink. And there was a man that sat before them that was supposed to look after him. And the king had asked that the most brightest and the most smartest and the best looking guys, I know most of you guys had figured that that's one of you, and that were brilliant, that they could be taught. And they took those young men and set them apart, and they fed them and clothed them and did everything they could, taught them their language, the Babylonian language. And And they had a man that looked after them. This one man said, this is what you have to eat. And Daniel says, we're not going to eat that. We're not going to drink that. Because that goes against our biblical law that we've been taught. And they begged this man, said, listen, give us 10 days. Just give us 10 days. Just give us porridge or vegetable soup. I guess that'd be the best way to say it. I'd say if you're from Russia, borscht. And just give us that. That's all we want. And the Bible said 10 days later, they found out that their brilliance, their mind was better. Their countenance was better. And so these are the men that had taken their stand right at first. Now we have something going on. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psalmistry and the dulcimer and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is it, God, that shall deliver you out of thy hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, I like their politeness, dear friends. We ought to be polite if we're Christians. Amen. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And you remember the story. The Bible said they heeded it seven times. And the men that were these strong men that came and took these men bound and threw them into the fire, the Bible said their lives were extinguished because of the magnificent heat. And Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible said, he looked into the furnace and he not only saw three men walking, but he saw another one who's like the Son of God. They came out. You couldn't even smell smoke on them. But I'll tell you what they did, though. Their bands were burnt off. You know, sometimes in life we have to go through some pretty fiery stuff in our lives. And when we prove to those who have made us go through that, all of a sudden, they have to respect you. And they said, well, at least you did what you were supposed to do. And we respect you for that. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you never hear them again. They had free reign of that country. So, even though you're going through the fiery furnace of your life, God will still provide for you. And Shadrach, and Meshach said the great thing. They said, you know what? If God wants to, he can. But if he doesn't, hey, we're not going to bow down. We're just not going to bow. I think in America today that you're going to see some things that there's going to be people going to try to get you to bow down. There's going to be people that are going to try to get you to go against this Word of God. Let me encourage you that God also saves you in the fiery furnaces. And if you when you have the idea that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, you know what? If I die, I die. But I'm not going to do what you make me to do. I'm not. I think that's a great encouragement to us as Christians today. The America, the United States of America that I grew up in, is not the same America that I grew up in as you're growing up in. Your children are going to grow up in. We are bombarded daily with political craziness, And you know and I know it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. You know. And let me just remind you that why we're here. We're here to tell others about Jesus Christ. We're here to glorify our Heavenly Father. We're here to serve God in any way we can, shape, or form. And when we have to get burned in the fiery furnace, then we begin to pray, even so, Lord, come quickly. But we have to stand what the Bible says. Some of you children in our schools have to take some pretty strong stands anymore. Man, when I was a kid, you didn't think about it. Man, they read the Bible in the morning. They prayed in the morning, said the Pledge of Allegiance, sang the Star Spangled Banner, and we're all happy to be Americans. We prayed for our president. We prayed for our Congress and Senate. We prayed for our state government and local government. And our school teacher was the one who was saying, hey, if you don't go to Sunday school, why don't you come to my Sunday school? So God is able to save us, number one. God is able to save us through some fiery furnaces, but God is also able to save us from the lion's mouth. You remember the story, Daniel. There were some people that didn't like Daniel. Isn't that amazing? And they couldn't find a way they could catch him because he lived such a godly life. But some of them got this idea, you know what? Let's put a petition or put a law in the Medes and Persians. The Medes and Persian law was that if you made the law, it couldn't be changed. Let's put the law in the Medes and Persians that you can't pray to anybody except Darius, the king. That'll bring great honor to their king. And so and he won't know what we're doing that. But so anyway, they came to Darius. He says, Darius, we want to proclaim a time that nobody can pray to anybody except you, Darius. And old Darius said, hey, that sounds pretty good. I like that. I like that. You know, but little did he know that they were setting a trap for this wonderful man named Daniel. For 80-some years, he had given great wisdom and information to those kings. And they found him. He was praying like he did every day, three times a day. He prayed towards Israel. And they caught him. And they came, brought him to Darius, said, didn't you say that nobody could pray to anybody except you? Well, yes, I did. Well, there it is. And Darius just died inside of him. Look at what the scripture says in chapter 6 and verse, Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. And the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Because Daniel was cast in the lion's den, and neither were the instruments of music brought before him. His sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning and went with haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den of, then he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. He knew, didn't he? Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, boy, what a testimony, amen, able to deliver thee from the lions? I want you to see how careful Daniel was when he speaks back. I hear so many Christians so mean, their talk is, you're not to be that way. Show respect. Listen to what Daniel said. Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before his innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den. Before I read the rest of it, I want you to listen. There are some things that Daddy does that can cause a lot of hurt to their children and their whole family. You go against God, you go against the principles of God, your family will pay for it. It's not just you. You all understand it, right? Let me show you what the Bible says. Those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Don't tell me those lions weren't hungry. But just reminds us how important it is for us to live for God, Dad. This morning I came into Sunday school and there was 11 boys from the ages of, how old Blake? Two to 12. 11 of them. And then some more came in. And then some more came in. I think I had, I got a picture of 22 young little boys. JT is my oldest boy. All the way down to little guy, Teddy, who is what, 4 months? In our church. Hey, dads, we are responsible for our family. We're responsible for our wife to encourage her to do right. We're responsible for our children. And when we go against the principles of the Word of God, we'll pay for it someday. Yes, we will. And they will pay for it someday. I want you to remind you that God is able to save. God's able to save you. You say, but preacher, you have no idea how bad I am. I really don't care. God's keeping score. But I will tell you, you're not bad enough that you cannot get saved. You're not bad enough that you cannot get away to heaven. You're not bad enough that you cannot have a home forever with Jesus Christ. Number two, He'll save you from your fiery trials. There's a lot of fiery trials that you're going to come into. You know which way to turn. And number three, God will save you from some fiery furnaces you're going to go through. Some of you young teenagers, you're going to go through some fiery furnaces. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. But God can save you through that. And then there's some lion dens that you may have to be put in someday. You say, but I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was serving God. I was doing everything He told me to do. Well, God is using you. Remember, the world does not circle around you. The world circles around God. The most important thing is God, that He helps us and gets through things in life. But we're to glorify the Heavenly Father. We are made to glorify Him. He is not made to glorify us. God's going to take us through some things. I don't know about you, but boy, you know, life can get pretty interesting sometimes. There can be some real challenges out there. There can be some real dull lion's den. There can be some fiery furnaces out there. But I want you to know that there's God that loves you. He also cares for you. Listen, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake thee. He said, I'll never take you thing through that you cannot withstand, or I'll provide you way and escape. And if it gets so bad, He said, you're supposed to lay all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. There are some things in this world that are going to come to you, and you will have no idea how in the world you're going to get out of this thing. By the way, the Bible said it is, we're to live by faith, not by sight. There's a lot of things in life, and you could probably ask some of these senior saints that are running around here and say, how'd you get through that? And they'll say, I don't know. Some of them say, well, I guess I was lucky. But the true saint said, I will tell you that it was God who watched over me and cared for me. Look at the Bibles. Look at the Bible, all the men in the Bible and the women in the Bible that had so many troubles, sorrows, and all these things that happened to them. Yet God gone through the thing. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad about that. I'm sure glad that God loves us and God cares for us. And He said, listen, I can save anybody. I'll take anybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every person I ever met is a whosoever. I don't care who they are. They may be rich. They may be poor. They may be a gangster. They may be a preacher. They may be a dancer. They may be a homosexual. They may be baby killer. They may be war. I think of that Philpott and some of those people that and Hitler. You know what? God could save those people for whosoever will. Remember that. God loves you. Why in the world would a God Almighty send His only begotten Son to this world and have Him be crucified on that rugged cross and to shed His blood and die for you? I'll tell you why. Because He says, I'll save you. Anyone can be saved. You say, how do you get saved? First of all, you realize you're a sinner. That's not too tough. Yeah, I know you're a sinner, Rick. And boy, you sure know I'm a sinner. Pretty simple. Your wife's looking at you and she's shaking her head really good, Brother Jim, Brother Rick. All sinners. Realize we're sinners. Number two, because we're sinners, we need a Savior. We need someone to save us from our sins. And Jesus said, I'll be that one. I loved you this much. And now we, in our life, we say, I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And I have faith that I believe, I trust that He would save me. And we bow our head and we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe You died on the cross, rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now, right here. And the Bible says, immediately that will take place. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's God's promise to you. That if you die someday, you'll go to heaven. If you invite Him to be your Savior. Father, I pray You'd help us today. Thank You for the promise of heaven. Lord, we live in a crazy world. We live in a world that's just nuts. And I pray, Heavenly Father, You'd help us to understand, first of all, we can all be saved. And secondly, when we're saved, through Jesus Christ, we can escape the fiery furnaces, and we can be safe even in the den of lions because You love us. I'm going to ask you a couple questions this morning. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. The Bible said all of us are sinners, and because we sin, we owe a terrible price. It's death and hell. That's why He's called a Savior, someone to save us from our sins. You're here today and say, Preacher, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. If you're here today and say, Preacher, I need a Savior, and you have never come to Christ, you've never asked Jesus to save you, why don't you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I promise I will not embarrass you, but I should love to pray for you. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't have a Savior. I need a Savior today. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. You hear today and say, Preacher, I've been going through some fiery times in my life. Would you please pray for me? God bless you. Yeah, amen. Some here today and say, Preacher, seems like I'm in the lion's den. There are people that don't appreciate me, and because of my stand for God, and I keep saying things. But I'm going to trust God to get me through this thing. Let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. Lord, now, I pray You'd speak to our hearts. You know our needs today. They're great. Thank You, Lord, that You provide a way of escape. You provide salvation for any of those who accept You as their Savior. Wow, what an amazing thing. No matter who you are and how far you've gone into sin, You forgive us. Thank You for that. Lord, I also pray, Lord Jesus, that You'd help us in the fiery trials that we go through. In those places that people put us in because they don't like us. We know it's just Satan. Lord, help us today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know. I'd sure like to know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Boy, I'd like to know that. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come today and say, "You know what? I want Jesus to be my Savior." Why don't you come take me by the hand and say, "Preacher, today, this is the day I want Christ to be my Savior. I'm done fooling around. I want to take care of it right now." If you're here today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism," why don't you come at this time? If you're here today and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at." Why don't you come at this time? Hey, you going through some fiery trials? Going through some troubles in life? Hey, there's a God that loves you very much. Loves you so much. He's there for you. Hear today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to be saved today. I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven." Why don't you come at this time? Hear today and say, "Preacher, we want to be followed Lord and Believer's Baptism. Today, we want to become members of this church. We want to serve God here." Thank you again for another day we can serve you. Thank you for the Lord's Day, a place we come to thank you for your resurrection. We worship you for that. I pray, oh Father, you'd speak to our hearts now, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus, so we walk close to you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to listen to those who are in trouble. Help us, Lord, to listen to those who need you as their Savior. Help us to show them the Bible way. Lord, I pray you'd bless now. Help us as we go to our separate homes. Help us as we come back tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to remember that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.